Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present our spectacular show of podcast magic and imagination full of Disney wonder, news, and pop culture. It's the Main Street Electrical Podcast with Jen Novotny and David Dollar.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Dave.
Long time no see.
I know. It's been a whole like 3 days.
It's been 3 days. It really has been. And it'll be another 3 weeks, and then I'll see you again. And the 3 weeks
that
after that, I'll see you again. And then I won't see you again probably until December. So,
Maybe before that.
Who knows? Who knows? But welcome to the Main Street Electrical Podcast. I am Dave, and this is Jen, and we are here. Episode number 201. I just made note of the fact that typically I have to look sometimes to see what episode we're on. Are we on 187 or 154?
I had no idea.
192?
Yeah.
This one? I had down pat episode 200 last week with
Good
Derek
job.
And the Moana mom had a great time doing the attractions. By the way, we had a listener email. It said, basically, can you post the attraction bracket so that I can fight
with
my family? So I'm going to have that on the website on our show notes, themscpodcast.com. That'll be up.
That's a great idea.
I'll put that up and you guys can see it. And all props to Mr. Derek Frank, who
Thank
was
you,
able
Mr.
to
Derek
put that together for us. So absolutely. Jen, we got a lot to talk about today. We just got back
to
my Royal Caribbean cruise, Freedom of the Seas.
Dude, yes.
Yes, a lot of happening in the world of Disney as well. But I got to ask you, Jen, how did you Disney this week?
Well, I made some plans to go down for, I was invited to a preview of Tiana's River by, what are you calling it?
The Princess and the Log, yes.
That's what you keep calling it. Tiana's Bayou
Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Correct.
So I am very excited for that.
Correct. And we know where it's located. It's over by you. And so, the Magic Kingdom over in Frontierland. We are all excited for that. Now, I'm not going to ask you when those dates are or anything because I don't know how much people are supposed to know yet. I'm sure it'll be out and about pretty soon that
passwords
are coming out and whatever. But
I don't think it's not that much of a, you know.
Yes, but we know it's coming very, very soon. And it's going to be awesome. Which means when this episode drops, about 3 hours later, there will be an announcement of the actual date itself.
Probably be a thing.
My guess is June 24th. It's a Monday. That is my guess of when it officially will be open. We do know that Disney likes to do several weeks of cast member previews and pass holder previews and certain special people previews and such. So that will be happening. That's exciting, making your travel plans for that. I have a habit about once every 2 weeks going to the local thrift store because I am a physical media person. I like perusing their CDs. I like perusing their DVDs and their Blu-rays, and usually a dollar each. Today, I had the privilege of picking up the Pretty in Pink soundtrack. I also had the
privilege of picking up
the Felicity soundtrack, if you remember that show with Kara Russell.
Gosh, that's been
soundtrack.
A minute.
And the Jerry Maguire soundtrack, all pristine condition, all $1 each. And I found Tangled on Blu-ray and DVD for a dollar. It hasn't been unwrapped yet. It's brand new. Picked it up for a dollar. And one movie, and I actually already own Tangled. I own the 3D DVD, the whole set. But I'm like, and now I have a backup copy for a dollar. And then I found one movie that I have been looking for forever. I've been meaning to purchase it, but I don't want to spend the $20 on it, hoping I could find it. Captain America: Civil War, one of my favorite
you love that
films,
one.
For a dollar. I was like, victory is mine, which was really awesome. So yeah, that's exciting. Now, I do want to mention this. We have a lot of things coming. May 20th, of course, is we didn't really get to this last week, but the big announcement a couple of days ago on May 20th, Disney is changing their DashPass. Now, this is very convenient.
Yes.
Because 2 weeks ago, we did an episode on DashPass strategy, and now they're going to change everything, right? So please listen to that episode, and everything works until then. And I'm not going to dive too much into it, because there is a post that I put up on my own page, Disney on a Dollar on Facebook, that has blown up, and people are having all sorts of discussions. And for the most part, I would say about 92.7% of them have been very nice and very pleasant, very, you know, good conversation. Whatever the percentage is left, about 6.3%. Not so much. I've had to kind of chunk some people here and there, get rid of some people, you know, not people, but comments. I'm not blocking anybody, but comments. And people have been so far pretty entertaining when it comes to their stories and their pleas to Disney. Hey, don't change this, don't change that. Just know something, and I wanted to make this proclamation. When things like this come up, one thing you have to remember is you have to be very careful who you listen to.
Yes.
There are several websites out there that make these horrible claims in their headlines that say Disney is doing this and it's closing infinitely, or Disney is shutting out all the guests, blah, 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 whatever. And you read the article and you're like, oh, they're really not closing this down forever. It's a refurbishment for 5 days. Or they're not blocking guests from entering Hollywood Studios. This is a after hours party that you have to purchase tickets for. And if you don't purchase tickets for it, you have to leave. I mean, this is the kind of headlines that several sites do. If it's not from Disney officially, then it does not count. It's not real.
Correct.
We don't know for sure. Maybe it's strong. Even some of the websites that I trust, I'm still like, if I don't hear from Disney officially, I'm still like, there's a chance, right? Just note that Upon a Star Travel will never post anything that we don't believe to be true. Or we, if it's a rumor, we will say rumor. You know, this is whatever, just for discussion.
And even then, we're only posting if it is relevant to something that needs to be out there. We're not just posting it because it's like, oh, we want to post a rumor. It would be
You know. And same thing on my page. I will never post anything that I don't either know to be true or that I don't specifically say. Just for conversation, hey, this is a rumor going around. What do you guys think? Big letters, rumor, rumor, just to make sure. It's something like the Dash Pass. Make sure you pay attention to who you're listening to.
Yes.
Because it can get you all fired up, and there's so much chance for misinformation inside the magic, and so many chances. So many pages out there will throw out misinformation Disney Dining, and a lot of pages Disney Fanatic will do those things just to get clickbait. And so I'm not going to say any names at all, except for those once proud pages where you had the magic, you would go inside of it, and great pages, but now just whatever clickbait. Anyway, just pay attention to what you're listening to. So you'll be hearing much more about the Dash Pass coming up once I get a handle on it. But until then. We don't know anything until Disney releases it. You know, they're going to change up the system. One big thing they have said is simply that no more in park, like we do it in the park. We do as soon as we get to the park, they will be all done online now. And they have said they're going to be working with a place called the National Health Organization, Health Alliance,
something like that,
to work with cast members in doing online interviews. Does that mean they give the decision to the Health Alliance? Does that mean the Health Alliance advises the cast members? We don't know.
We don't know. And it is, we do know it is not reportedly the same system that Universal uses.
Yes.
We can say that.
A few weeks ago, we had Main Street Sarah on here talking about that. And I've heard some great things about Universal's system. She had a very negative experience with it. We'll see. It's not going to that. So we know that for a fact. But just wanted to mention that and bring that up for people who are worried about the Dash Pass. We just don't know anything. And there's a chance nothing will change. Who knows?
And I do think that, like, for those people who get the Dash Pass, the main thing with the episode that we did a couple weeks ago that's going to change is getting the Dash Pass.
Yes.
It's not going to be, like, the strategies once you have it,
right.
I think, will be largely the same. So.
Absolutely. Well, and that brings up the other thing that I wanted to mention. The one change, again, Disney has mentioned this. They have said this is what they're doing, so it's not a rumor, that instead of just doing a party of six, if your immediate family is 4, 5, 6, whatever. It's your immediate family up to six people. If it's not immediate family, and we don't know the definition of immediate, are grandparents included? Are aunts and uncles included? We don't know.
Don't know.
Disney will say that. We'll see. But it's now going to be a party of four. And personally,
we do know this.
They have not said this, but I personally think that is to stop influencers and people like that from not saying they're cheating the system. I'm not saying they don't have somebody in their group that does need the Dash Pass. I'm not saying that at all, because I know there's a lot of legitimacy out there. And if you're somebody who needs the Dash Pass for whatever condition you're going on and you can take five of your friends, why wouldn't you do it? Absolutely. I think
Sure.
But they're going to come stem down on some of that. And there's a whole discussion to be had about why they're changing and that versus Genie Plus.
But I think it's also important to know that it's for immediate family. It's four or immediate family. So if you are a family of five, that's...
Right. It's your family of five will get an immediate family. Correct. But if it's just you and some friends, it will be yourself and three other people. You know, what will be covered, that again is going to be a Disney's decision. They have mentioned cognitive disabilities initially, and they said, or similar, which I think they may have changed that on the website during that day because they're like the wording changed during the day because there was a lot of blowback right off. But then now it says or similar, whatever. So again, May 20th, that's when we'll know.
For sure. Because once it's in, I mean, we'll know some things leading up.
Right. So anyway, just want to bring all that up. So you listened to a couple weeks ago, going into this, you know that we have acknowledged the fact that they are making some changes, and we'll get to that. We'll probably have an episode later on in the month, or in June, about it. But yeah, let's talk, first of all, a little bit of news. We don't have a ton of news, but I do want to mention this, Jen. Disneyland Forward. Do you know what this is?
I mean, I have heard of it. I do believe it has to do with their expansion and what they are wanting to do. But tell us more.
Yes, well, Disney is basically donating a couple of cool billion dollars towards expansion at Disneyland. And you might think to yourself, David Aller, there was nowhere for them to go, because I think Universal immediately, they had to go down the street and build a park. No, according to the drawings, the artist renderings, which is surprising, not a lot of people have talked about this. Like, Disney is literally talking about building an entire, basically like half a park at Disneyland, new lands and new rides and like Avatar and everything. And not a lot of people are talking about it because I think people are like, well, we'll see what happens. But according to what they've drawn, this is going to take place around the hotels, like around Pixar Pier and around
really?
Disneyland. Yeah, I mean, it's going to take place in that area. I'm not saying you can walk off, you'll walk out of Disneyland Hotel and go straight on the teacups, but
no, I'm sure not.
In that area, there's going to be apparently an Avatar Land we know is coming somewhere over there.
Yes, we've heard, we have definitely.
I've heard rumors that maybe Arendelle is coming, which will be great for Southern California.
Oh,
that's Frozen World. That Zootopia is coming, because I know they want to do Zootopia. A lot of the Hong Kong things they put in place, you know, they're maybe
yeah,
bringing over
sure.
here, maybe expanding some other lands as well, but they're doing a $2 billion expansion at Disneyland. And the reason we know this is for sure is because last night, this is a Wednesday we're recording, so 24 hours ago on Tuesday, Anaheim City Council voted 7-0 to approve this plan going forward. I'm not going to read you the verbiage from the actual proposal itself, but it's a big chunk that basically says, hey, we're Disneyland, we're going to put some money to this, and we're going to expand. We're opening up some new stuff. We're doing
it. But why would Anaheim say no? I mean, that's
right,
just
exactly.
More
well,
guaranteed
this is,
tourists.
This is the first vote. They has one more vote to go. May 10th, okay. I believe, is the next vote. Once it clears that vote, which surprisingly, I think it will, once it clears that vote, they'll have basically in 30 days it will take effect. So Disney has to wait 30 days, and then they can begin. They can start. And I'm sure they're doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work, legally stuff, and you know, testing and blah, blah, blah.
The things that they would have to know
exactly,
to get it going.
Exactly,
the
things they have to do. And folks, we're not going to see this happen until like 2026, 2027. So we're talking several years down the road. How this impacts the hotels, I have no idea. I don't know. They're not going to close the hotels. That I can promise.
No,
I can promise you for sure. So if you're thinking, I don't know if I want to go to the Disneyland Hotel and have construction around me, then just go. It's okay. You're going to be at Disneyland. It's awesome. Trust me. You're great. But we will wait to see what's going to unfold. I think this will be a big part of D23 and some of their plans. Because as we know, Disneyland gets all the good stuff. You know, they get all the great stuff, all the popcorn buckets. They have a light up Peter Pan clock tower popcorn bucket,
so
which
cool.
is awesome. No, I'm sorry. That's actually Hong Kong Disneyland. That's overseas.
That's at Hong Kong.
That's
Hong
Kong
Disneyland.
Gonna say. Yeah, Disneyland gets the Stormtrooper bucket and the Jabba the Hutt talking bucket or whatever. And we have Ratatouille wrap on a bus, which is awesome. So, you know, yay us. They get all the good stuff. It's just depressing. Anyway, so keep an ear up for the Disneyland Forward expansion. You can actually go to DisneylandForward.com, and it kind of tells you a little bit about it. Not much. It's really more of a, here's the city council, you know, the breakdowns, here's the dates you'd be looking for, that kind of thing. So it's almost like a page for the Anaheim and Southern California residents. Hey, you want to know what we're doing with your land? This is what we're doing. Come check it out or whatever for people who are concerned. So that's coming up. So let's jump over here to some cruise liners here. Royal Caribbean. I have never been on a Royal Caribbean until this past weekend. Jen, how many Royal Caribbean trips have you taken?
I want to say like six.
Nice.
I think
six. And have you done one in every class? Because I think that is now kind of my goal, is to do one at least in every class if possible.
Not the Radiant, like, and I don't know if it's Radiance class, the smallest class I have not done. I have done the ones, I have done Navigator, Sovereign, I've done now Freedom twice, and that's the Freedom class.
Nice.
That's the only Freedom class ship I've done. And then I've done Odyssey, which is in Quantum class, Symphony, which is an Oasis class.
Right.
I was on Harmony briefly. I didn't sail it, but I was on it for the naming ceremony. I have done, Odyssey, I think, is Quantum class. I have not done Icon class.
Okay. Well,
yes, I will be this summer.
Run through these real quick, and I'm not going to give you descriptions of every ship because that'd be too much. But the lowest class, I say lowest, the smallest class, and still it's a big ship, the Vision class. Now, this is
Vision,
your Grandeur
of
the Sea, which was the first Royal Caribbean ship, 1996. The Rhapsody, the Enchantment, and the Vision of the Sea. All these were renovated somewhere around 2012, 2013. Little footnote here, Grandeur was actually going to be transferred to Pulmantar Cruises in 2021, but Pulmantar filed for bankruptcy. So Royal Caribbean just kept it.
Oh.
And so, this is the smallest one. Grandeur of the Sea has the smallest population, which can hold 1,992, so just under 2,000 people. So keep that number in mind. Voyager class is the Voyager, the Explorer, the Adventure, the Navigator, and the Mariner of the seas. And a lot of these were renovated in 2016, 2017. The Explorer is actually going to go down for renovation pretty soon. These were all built in 99, 2000, 2001, somewhere right in there. They were the largest class of ships in the world when they were constructed, and they were the first ships to have an ice rink at sea and the first to have Royal Caribbean's Royal Promenade concept, which we'll talk about that. I got a lot of good things to say about that. So there's that. The next is the Radiance class. The Radiance, the Brilliance, the Serenade, and the Jewel.
I'm knocking on that one.
2001, 2002, 3, 4, one ship every year, all renovated about 10 years ago. So these hold about 2,100 people. So we're about 200 people more than the low class there. They have environmentally friendlier gas turbine engines and over 3 acres of glass exterior viewings and 700 balcony staterooms and Next class up, the Freedom class. Now, we were on the Freedom of the Seas.
Yep.
Now, remember, the Grandeur had about 1,900. The class we just talked about had 2,100. The Freedom has 3,782, so just under 3,800 people. The Freedom, the Liberty, and the Independence. These are basically the longer versions of some of the ships we've already talked about. The Royal Promenade ran going to the ship. Some of these have an ice skating rink. There was not an ice skating rink on our ship. Well, no, there was. There was.
Yeah,
Ben
and Katie went ice skating.
That's right. Basketball court, pools, mini golf course, rock wall.
Yep.
Flow Rider was introduced here. The H2O Kids Zone, Water Kids Play Area, the boxing ring, hot tubs, all over those. So those are all there. The Oasis class. These are the largest ships ever built at the time. This is the Oasis, the Allure, the Harmony, the Symphony, and the Wonder of the Seas.
Yep.
And your lowest in this class is Allure of the Sea, which only holds 5,400 people.
Yeah, only.
Only 5,400 people. It's a little insane, right? So that's of course double occupancy.
Yeah.
They have a maximum capacity of 6,300 passengers, which is just crazy. And then we have the Quantum class. Quantum of the Sea, the Anthem of the Sea, the Ovation of the Sea, the Spectrum, and the Odyssey of the Sea. These started in 2014 and every year up until about 2021. Again, these are ones that hold 5,000, so similar people to the ones we just talked about. These are the second largest class ships in the world. They were built for Royal Caribbean, they share indoor pools, retractable roofs. They have the outdoor seating and the Windjammer buffet. Mm-hmm. We got some of that. Self-leveling pool tables. That's kind of a fun thing to say. The iFly Ripcord skydiving simulator, which I would love to do.
Yes.
A 3-deck-high 270-degree lounge. So there's that. Roller skating, bumper cars.
I did the skydiving.
That's incredible. I would love to do that. Now, of course, we're talking about the Icon class. Now, the Icon of the Seas is the largest ship ever built. It is friggin' massive.
It is ginormous.
It holds around 5,600 double occupancy, 7,600 passengers. Maximum. Came out in November 2023. Now, coming up here in the future fleet of this Icon class, the Utopia of the Seas. Actually, it says it's listed here. That's going to be under the Oasis class, which is interesting. So that would be.
Sorry. Yes, you're right. Yeah, Utopia is Oasis class because they did like 7 or something Oasis class ships. And then the Star of the Seas, I think, is the second Icon class.
And then they have a ship coming out in 2026 and 2028, which one's going to be Icon, one's going to be Oasis. So they're filling up those as well. So the ships that are no longer in service, the Song of Norway, the Nordic Prince, the Sun Viking, the Song of America, this long list here. Of the Seas, Sovereign, Monarch, Splendor, Legend, Empress, and Majesty of the Seas. Those are old boats. They've either been decommissioned or they were sold to other places and stuff. So that's kind of your rundown of Royal Caribbean. I expect there's going to be a test for all of you out there, including you, Jim. but no, there's a large ship. I mean, we're used to Disney. I'm used to Disney. I'm like, I got the Wish. I got the Wonder. I got the Magic. I got the Dream. I got the Treasure coming up. I got the Fantasy. And then, of course, the Adventures Overseas and the new one coming up. The next two coming up will be like the Celebration and the Inspiration. I don't know.
That's not rumors. We don't really.
Yeah, we don't know that. I'll probably guess that much closer to time because Treasure... Adventure kind of threw me off because that's the one over in Asia that it did call, but Treasure kind of threw everybody off. Like Treasure, okay, whatever. So let's talk about the Freedom of the Seas. Again, this was my first experience on a Royal Caribbean ship. I had gone on a Princess ship last September. I went on a Disney cruise last March. It's really hard to compare the three ships and the three experiences. It's almost like, you know, okay, you went to Disney World. Which park do you like best? I depends on, you know, depends on what you're looking for as to which park you're gonna like best. I mean, what you know, what's going on? What do you want, Universal? You want Disney? Well, let's talk about you first and figure out what you're gonna like. Freedom of the Seas, we had a balcony room cabin, which the balconies are fairly small, but we, my wife Stephanie and I, you and Brady, and then of course Kyla, her husband Frank, and then two of our other agents and their spouses all had balconies that were all lined up. So we just moved the doors. We had one long balcony, which was kind
We
of
had the
cool.
room store just open up, so it was great.
Exactly. There's plenty of room there. So I will give you my first impressions of the ship itself. I thought it was a beautiful ship. It's a great ship. 3 day cruise is not, I don't want to say it's not enough time to explore the ship. I felt like I saw everything on the ship that I could see. Maybe I didn't experience everything on the ship, but I did see a lot. And there are probably a few things that I'm seeing pictures of from our agents posting. I'm like, oh, I missed that. How did I miss that? But you know, I saw the Flo Rida in action. I did the water slide. I saw the rock climbing wall. I saw the kids areas and the play zones. I saw all the shows, heard the comedian, you know, and so did a lot of that, right? And getting to the room itself, the room is a little small. Two things really stuck out
I will
about
say
the
every cruise ship room is
Well,
a little
and I get that, but I say that
small,
last year, I
but
feel like
yes.
my wish cabin was not, it was small, but it wasn't small. I mean, it was roomy to me.
Disney's
So,
exception.
you know,
Disney has nice large rooms.
my princess room last year, Stephanie and I had the princess cabin and balcony cabin. It felt about the same size. Of course, the princess, I think the princess rooms are a little dated. You walk in there's a lot of brown going on in there, and you're like, okay, a little brown going on. Real quick, it was fine. Two things I had, and we talked about this earlier, and you have a contention for one of these. Number one, there are two plugs in this room. There are two plugs in this room. That's it. That's all. There are two plugs. And I'm like, that's not a lot. Now you think to yourself, well, hey, David, I'll just bring an extension cord. Just bring a surge suppressor. Well, nay, let me say this. That when we were coming off the ship, we were catching an Uber to our train station ride, which I'll talk about in a minute. There was a table of confiscated goods that you could go over and pick up: steamers, hair dryers, irons, surge suppressors, and power strips. So if you were to bring one on, thinking, you know what, I heard on that Main Street Electrical podcast, my favorite podcast, I heard them say there's only two plugs in that room. Well, guess what? I'm going to bring me a six plug little thing. They very well may take it. Now,
Correct.
whether you get it back for sure, I don't know. They had them on the table, so I'm like,
Oh
I
no,
might just
they
put
give it
that back.
back. They give it back.
But you have two plugs to work with. Now, we were lucky. We have a my wife does diffusers, and she also needs something to basically rinse her nose out and everything. So she asked for an extension cord. They brought her an extension cord, which really was just plugging in, and then we had, you know, it was a plug across the room, so that helped. But two plugs. And
I will
go
tell you.
go ahead,
Oh,
go ahead, say
no,
it.
I
Go
say
ahead.
this is my con and it's not a contention because the lack of plugs is a pain and it's annoying. However, remember when it was built? You just said it
2006.
was
2006.
2006.
Yes.
I know it's hard for us to remember. First of all, on cruise ships, people were putting their phones in their safes because that's what we did. We would just shut off our phone because no one wanted
Little Motorola
international
Razr in your
charges.
safe. Yeah.
Yeah, because it wasn't your camera, it
Right.
wasn't your everything. There
Well,
was
you know,
no
I
Wi-Fi. You
hear,
weren't doing
Jen.
any of
I
that.
hear you. I
So,
hear you.
yeah.
But this
Now,
ship was renovated in 2020.
it was, but to
2020.
do the re to redo the electrical, it's that's not a dry dock situation. That is a gut the ship situation, which
I
you're not
don't
going to
know
do.
how ships operate in terms of electricity. I don't know how hard it would be to put in the same place, put in a plug that has like
It
four
would be
plugs
hard.
or USB cord or something like that. But
See now, so I would say that if you are planning to sail an older class, and keep in mind, a lot of these older ships are now doing the three and fours, or they're doing the Kilroy itineraries because, like it's one of the two. You need to bring a, and I have a block, like one of those, it plugs in and you got like four USB
That's a
little
good point. That's a
outlets.
really good point.
And I just always leave that on my bag because honestly, a couple of the Disney rooms don't always have enough room.
What Royal could do, honestly, is I think they could either rent or sell these on their ship and say, you know what, or rent them on the ship and say, these are ship compatible. These are ones we deem safe. Rent them from us. Don't bring your own because we'll take it. Rent them from us for $10, for $5 a night, $10 a
Or
night.
just put one in the room.
I would have paid the $30 for the weekend to have plugs around the room versus that one plug. It was because we were kind of plugging in chargers, we were plugging in phones, whatever, and you know, and God forbid I didn't have my phone by the bed. I had it across the room. And I'm like, what is
Was
this
across the room.
madness? What is this
I know.
madness? Because my wife deems where she sleeps first because the way the air comes in, she allergies are terrible. So she's like, I'm gonna sleep on this side because the fan's going over there, whatever. So there is that. That's one. Two, the showers. The
Oh,
showers
no
are
contention here.
like capsules. And when I say capsules, oh, yeah, they're circles. You go in there and it really feels like you're about to, you just cross your arms and cross your legs. The bottom's going to drop out. You're going down a water slide. That's what it feels like. Or you're about to get beamed up on a Star Trek episode and hopefully you're wearing a red shirt because otherwise you're not coming back. It's just, it's like,
again, specifying older class ships. This is an older class ship.
And you're right about that, because I looked at the bathrooms on the Icon and they're very spacious. I mean, for a cruise ship, they're...
Oh, I was on the Odyssey and it's, I mean, it's still not huge. I mean, no.
And again, I keep going back to the Disney Wish, comfortable shower. I had room. Here, I wanted to somehow attach the soap to the wall and just move around the wall to get soapy because it's just, it's hard to maneuver in there. And to dry off in the shower, you got to open the door. And it's like this, the door is kind of open, like while you just put your fingers in the middle and just spread your fingers and the door's open. It's just, other than that, it was great. I mean, it was a small room, obviously. They put a lot of
people the newer in the ship, ships are a lot easier or a lot better with showers. Right. I will say that too, for sure.
So we got there. We all arrived various times. Of course, and running through my little adventure, my wife and I were scheduled to arrive in Fort Lauderdale at 10 p.m. We were flying down and we're going to get there at 10 p.m. And we were already thinking how hard it was going to be because we get there at 10 p.m. Don't get to our hotel till 11. We got to get up the next morning. We were meeting our wonderful agent Susan, our wonderful agent Casey, and our wonderful agent Jamie. We were all going to ride together to the port from Fort Lauderdale, that hotel. And, you know, Stephanie had already talked to Susan and, you know, they had all worked out. So we were going to fly to Fort Lauderdale, spend the night, just again, lamenting the fact we're not getting there till 10, probably not even getting to bed till like midnight. Ugh, it's going to be so late, right? So the weather has rolled in on Thursday. And all we keep hearing is that our flights are being delayed and canceled. So what are we going to do? Because we're like, okay, we could fly out in the morning. We talked to Southwest. Right. We could fly out on Friday morning, which we're leaving on Friday, right? There's a Fort Lauderdale flight that arrives at 10. We would catch a shuttle from there directly to the port. You know, I've got early boarding time, so I don't know when I'm going to get there. I have no idea. But, you know, this is rule number one. And Jen will tell you this. I will tell you this. Never, ever, 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 ever get there the morning the cruise leaves.
Never. Don't do it.
You've got to give yourself some time. Do what you need to do.
Which is why you went out the night before.
Right. Went out the night before.
Because
exactly.
You could have gone out that morning if you'd had to.
Exactly. So we were already thinking, you know what? I guess this is what we're going to have to do. And then suddenly the flight we were going to take suddenly becomes available again, but it's been pushed back a few hours. So now we're like, okay, we fly at 6 p.m. We get to Baltimore and then we have a couple hours delay and then we get to, then we leave Baltimore, get to Fort Lauderdale. And I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. Look at a map. I should be in Fort Lauderdale in 2 hours versus up to Baltimore, down to Fort Lauderdale, whatever, right?
Right.
So we're going to get to Fort Lauderdale like, I don't know, 1 a.m. Okay, whatever. Or we fly to Orlando, stay the night, fly out the next morning, which probably was safe, but we didn't know. So we chose to do the Baltimore route. It already said we were going to take us to Chicago, then to Baltimore. At one point in time, it had Steph and I on 2 different flights, which was kind of crazy. I was like, I'll race you, see what happens. So we get the flight and the winds are insane. I understand why they had to move things around because when we hit Baltimore, we were coming in hot. That flame was moving. It was shaking back and forth, whatever. Wow. And I really felt like at one point in time, I went from left to right about 6 inches in the plane, just how crazy it was.
Wow.
So we landed. We get to Baltimore. It's now 9:00. Our flight is leaving at 12:15. We're like, it's going to arrive in Fort Lauderdale at like 2:30 in the morning. Okay. So then we get close to midnight and we're hearing our Southwest person. She's saying to us, folks, there is a chance that the crew may time out. The plane has just gotten here. We're going to get these people off as quick as possible to get you on as quick as possible because I've learned that the crew has to get in the air because if they time out when they're on the ground, they're done. They're done. And what I told Steph was like, honey, if they time out when they're on the ground, we're here. We're in the airport till tomorrow morning. And then we got to figure out what to do. Catch a Baltimore Orioles game and fly home. Well, I don't even know if we're getting to the ship. I have no idea. So we're there and it's midnight. The crew's worried about the crew timing out and the plane's in. And then the stewardess or the flight, whatever, the flight person, the gate agent.
Flight attendant.
Gate agent. So she comes on. She says, the good news, folks. I think we're going to be okay on the flight. However, someone has thrown up on the plane, getting off the plane. So we have to send maintenance in to clean it. And we're all just like, everybody's groaning. And she said, and the speaker, hey, don't blame me. I have to be the one to go clean it up. So I'm going to go do that now. I'm going to clean it up. And everybody's like, thank you. And she's like, you're welcome. So she goes to clean it up. We get on the flight about 12:30. It leaves. And I'm chronicling this all of my stories. We basically are on the airplane on the tarmac about 12:25. And I'm telling my wife, my lovely wife, I'm like, don't celebrate yet till we're in the air. There's always a chance this plane stops and turns around. I don't know why, but whatever. We get in the air. We get there to Fort Lauderdale. It's after 3. We get to our hotel at 4. You ladies have a bedtime routine. Apparently, I was asleep in 4 minutes. She was asleep in an hour. She didn't get to bed till 5. Right. We were both up at 8. It was a long day. It was
a long night.
So the lesson
That's
again,
a long night.
You know, roll with punches. Get there before the cruise. All right. So we get on and we actually get to there, and they have boarding times. You sign up on the app of your boarding time.
Right.
But we were there early enough that the attendant was like, y'all just go on, keep going. So we just went right on through. We were on the ship by 11 o'clock. It was fantastic. We got to have lunch at Windjammer, which is the buffet, the main market area. We, we walked around the ship, took some pictures, saw some things, saw the golf course and whatever. Mm-hmm. Then of course you guys arrived and everybody arrived. So Jen, you've been on the Freedom before. Give me your impressions of the Freedom. I guess, I don't know if you, not comparing to other ships yet, but just your impression of the Freedom. Good ship, bad ship, yes, no?
I actually love the layout of the Freedom.
Okay.
And when I was on her the first time, it was pretty close to when she was released, actually. She was like the newest, biggest ship. And I do love the layout. I love the promenade. I love, I just think it's easy to navigate and get around. So, and they really have a good, you know, the theater's nice. And yeah, I just, again, I don't feel like it's overwhelmingly large, but it's large enough that you have plenty to do. You're never bored. Because the first time I was on it, it was a longer cruise. I want to say it was a full week. So, and it was fine because I had plenty to do for that full week.
Right. So yeah, there's a lot to do on the ship. As we mentioned before on some of the ships, on this one, there is ice skating and there is rock climbing.
Yes.
And there is the Flow Rider, which is like the it's not the Thrapper, it's the surfing experience where they have the water coming over the hill and you get to surf on the water. They've got the two water slides at the very end. They've got several pools for the adults. Mm-hmm. They've got bars everywhere, lounges everywhere. Yeah. They've got shows, Broadway style shows. I don't want to say Broadway style shows. They have great shows at night.
And then they have that sports bar casino area.
Yes,
which,
they have a full casino, Playmakers, I think. Yeah. Casino Royale, what's the name of it? And then, of course, they have the promenade. And I loved this area. For those of you who didn't fully know what a promenade was, and I didn't really know, I knew that Icon had like a Central Park kind of area, you know, it's you walk in,
which is really cool,
or whatever, which is really cool. But the promenade is almost like you're walking through a mall. You walk through and it's covered and the lights are on and the floor is all fancy and stuff like that. And of course, you've got the stores on either side of you and everything. And there's like food
and bakeries,
there's ice cream
pizza.
Shop. There's a jewelry store. There's a pizza place. There's a souvenir store and stuff. There's luggage and clothes. It's just really, really cool. I actually put a story up about that because they have great music playing. Here I am walking through it, singing Peter Cetera and Amy Grant's Next Time I Fall, which was a lot of fun. And it's just the area is it's a large area, but it's not so large that you walk in, you feel overwhelmed. Like you can get from one side to the other in a minute. They have air elevators on both sides. And it was just a very cool central place. I think a lot of our time as a group was spent in this area because there was so much to do here. A lot to do and lots to see.
And it was an easy place to hang out.
Yes.
Like,
very easy place to hang out. The pizza place served pizza till 3 a.m. in case you got a hankering for that. You know, I would say all of cruise ships, the shops and souvenir places are not open while you're in port. They only open once you set sail. And so, you know, at nighttime when we were set sail, it was fantastic. Yeah. So loved that area as well. We saw the shows. There was an ice skating show, which a little odd, but it was fun. There was a musical show that was kind of musical, but called Once Upon a Time, which is based on different fairy tales, which is great.
Different fairy tales, yeah.
They had a comedian named Landry, who was a lot of fun on there. It was a clean comedian, had a few jokes that were kind of over the heads of kids. It was almost like Frozen.
Okay.
It was almost like the Frozen show.
Frozen
sing-along. Where a few of the jokes are like, oh, he said that, didn't he? How about that? And the kids are like, what? Nothing here. No, when you're older. So there
nothing.
Was some. you get some of that. But I loved that. So Jen, anything else on the ship that you really just really enjoyed on the Freedom?
I mean, I just enjoyed spending time with everybody. And I think that that's the best part of any cruise is, and Kyla. If there are, is just spending time in a fun location with people that you really like. So, I love the Solarium area as well because it's a little bit more adult centric, which on the newer ships, I will say, like on Quantum Class, I don't know that Icon Class has it. And, Oasis Class, it is adults only, so it's just a little bit of a quieter area outside of the main pool, but you know, plenty of chairs and loungers and things like that.
Right.
So Yeah, I
and
really
it was
like that.
it was fun because Sunday we the ship docked at Nassau, and
yes.
Shout out to our friend John Rogers and our Imagineers podcasting friend Matt Appleby, who were both in Nassau, and we
yes.
didn't know that until after they left. And it was a lot of they saw my pictures, I saw their pictures. You were there, kind of thing. It happened.
Yeah,
right?
They're not on our ship. They were on one of the other four ships.
When we
parked.
Docked, we had the Celebrity Summit, and there was the MSC, the Magnifica. And then the Carnival Sunrise and the Carnival Freedom, like all
yep.
lined up in a row. Now all next to
all
us.
Three in a row.
Carnival Freedom, of course, missing its wings on the top there, apparently from a yeah. fire, because you know Carnival's crazy. But you know we were on the Royal Caribbean and on the Freedom, so it was a lot of fun there. Solarium was great because on that day we kind of found a spot up in the corner and just kind of put our stuff down, and that was kind of our spot for pretty much half the day. Like we were all coming and going. Some people were there reading while other people would go get a drink or go do something.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stephanie was there for a lot, but then she came down with our agent Casey to do Friends trivia. And so, and then she was like, well, I have to go back to Solarium. My stuff's up there. That's where Katie and that's where so-and-so were. And so it's,
right.
it's just a great mm-hmm. meeting place for everything. The first day we docked though was perfect day at Coco Cay. Now mm-hmm. I am somebody who was very fascinated by this because you see the commercials, you see the perfect day, and there's the balloon, and there's the person zip lining, and there's the water park and the beaches. And you're like, oh, this is a picture perfect looking place. Was it your first time at Coco Cay? Had you,
no,
you stopped before? Okay.
I have been before, yeah.
Give me your impressions of Coco Cay, because you are somewhat of a beach person. I think you like maybe pools and bars better, but you are somewhat of a beach person. Are you?
I'm not a huge beach person. I mean,
I say somewhat,
I enjoy a beach, mm-hmm. but I'm not like getting in the sand. I'm not getting in the ocean too much.
Right.
But I enjoy a beach day. I just don't mm-hmm. want to be there for like a long stretch. So Coco Cay is great for me.
I'm the same way with when I'm with people that I enjoy being around. I don't mind mm-hmm. the beach. I would never just plan a trip for the family to the beach.
No, I'm not planning a trip to the
Stephanie
beach.
Stephanie doesn't care either.
It,
and Campbell's whatever on the beach.
Yeah. I want there to be other things to do.
So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I enjoy what I like about it is, although, yes, we did the Hideaway Beach, which was mm-hmm. an adult only section, which is brand new, just opened in January, which, by the way, was amazing.
Yes.
It was beautiful. I loved the setup. I loved the food. It was all good. I like the Coco Cay. You really don't technically have to do anything.
No.
There are plenty of pools, plenty of loungers, plenty of everything lying around. Just like around for you to do. Plenty of activities. Now, there is a thrill water park, which kids love. People love that thrill water park.
Mm-hmm.
We all know I am not a water park person. That is not going to be me. So I did not go. However, people have a blast at it. Buy the tickets early. Now there's the Hideaway Beach section. I will always do that at Coco Cay from now on. Like forever and ever, amen, I'm going to go to the Hideaway.
Yes. Yeah. I loved Coco Cay because you have all the beaches and everything too. And you're right. Hideaway Beach. Now let's just say this with Royal Caribbean, and we'll get to some of the pricing in a minute, but Royal Caribbean is a great price for the basic cabin. And then you can add on as much as you want as you go. Now you're right. There are a lot of free beaches in the Coco Cay area. But there are some like Hideaway Beach was an extra charge for if you wanted to get away, just go to Hideaway Beach. It's worth it. It was, I think, again, we'll get the pricing in a minute. I think it was worth it. There was chairs for everybody. There was space for everybody. They had cabanas. They had infinity pool cabanas. The food was fantastic. You would imagine that like food being served on a little Hideaway bungalow, you know, coconut shrimp and hot dogs and whatever would be like, just okay, it's on an island. The coconut shrimp was absolutely delicious. And I had two
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. It was arguably the best meal that I had had on my Royal Caribbean trip.
It was so good.
I was like, I have to eat more of the shrimp. I'm even hungry and I want to keep eating more. I had a hot dog later on that day. I had half a burger. I had fries. I mean, I just kept eating and just munching and everything. Later on that day, I actually went and took a tour of the entire beach. There's the cove. There's the cove. There's South Beach. There's Chill Island. A lot of the harbor, a lot of these are free. I mean, and they also have the largest inland island pool in the Caribbean, which is a huge pool area for the kids. They have splash pads and stuff for the kids. So you're right. There's a lot to do that is free. There are things to do that will cost you money. The water park is a little pricey.
Yeah.
So there is that. The zip line will cost you a little bit of money as well. And it doesn't run the length of the island because it's a
zip line. It does not. No,
it runs basically over the harbor pool. A little shorter than I wanted. I am personally glad I didn't pay for that and then see that small zip line. I'm like, I think that's not worth the money you're paying for it. And I'm not going to give you prices because those prices do fluctuate.
And they change.
And
even on the Thrill Water Park, those prices change.
Yes. And there are promotions happening
all the time.
So you get the app and you just keep checking. Go ahead and purchase on a good rate. If you see one even better, cancel your order and repurchase.
And
a lot of our agents did that.
Some of us did it like two and three times.
Yeah.
Because one person would be like, it's cheaper.
Yep.
Everyone's like,
Yep.
okay.
So Coco K was definitely a success. I walked the aisle and I pretty much put about 10,000 steps on my phone as I walked around, got pictures, and you'll see some of that. I'm gonna have a highlight up this weekend of Coco Cay. So you can go see all, like I did all the beaches and all the places. You can see all of it, right? Staff very friendly. They had trams running everywhere, so there's really great ways to get all over the place. So that was great. Coco Cay, Nassau, again, we didn't really get off. I've been to Nassau before. Straw Market, I don't want to say it doesn't impress me because I know people make their living on this, and it has a lot of value because you can do a lot of things. A lot of clothing and trinkets and jewelry and native items and things like that. It's stuff that's not for me, but I would encourage you, if you've never seen it, take a friend. I don't know that I'd go by myself, but take a friend and just
Yeah,
go
right.
enjoy the Straw Market for the day, for a couple of hours or whatever. Just enjoy that. Of course, then we had nighttime sailings. We had dinners and everything. I was not impressed with the food, and I know what you're going to say. Well, that's cruise food, and I get that. I get it, but I
Actually, it
felt
wasn't
like.
what I was going to say.
Okay, what were you gonna say? What were you gonna say?
I think that cruise food since COVID, and I actually had a conversation with somebody about this, in general, in the main dining rooms, has become more like all-inclusive food, where for the most part, it's fine. It's not great if you do the more elevated dining. So, like, I'm thinking of Jamie's Italian because that's the Oasis and Quantum Class ships. It was Giovanni's and the
Giovanni's, yes.
Freedom, and
And
like
the
steakhouse.
Isuzu sushi bar,
Yeah,
and yeah.
and so if you do the quote upgraded dining, it's like better. Like
Yes.
it's good food. And I will say that we ate at Playmakers the one time. We were just down. We walked through. We ran into Agent Eric. And we all just sat there and chatted with him for a bit. We ordered wings, an onion ring tower, and like some nachos. The nachos were just okay, but everything else was actually really, really good. So.
I think you're right. I like how you made that distinction about the main dining room, because every cruise has a central dining area that either you go to every night and they'll have different themes, or on Disney you will rotate dining areas. It's one of those things where the way I can tell a good dessert is if I finish that dessert and I want another one, it's a good dessert. If I finish the dessert, or if I don't finish it and I'm like, it's okay, then maybe the dessert wasn't up to snuff. And there was nothing on the cruise that I had this weekend that I was like, oh, I'd love to have another one of those. It was more of a, what'd you have? Let me have a bite of that. Oh, that's pretty good too. All right. Well, there was nothing that was terrible, but it was just okay
You
food,
don't go on Royal Caribbean for the food. There are
Right.
other cruise lines you might go, like I will say Virgin Voyages, you would go on that for the food. The food was excellent. Disney has good food.
Disney's food was good. Princess was pretty good. I mean, we had some of their, and we did have some of the elevated dining on Princess and in Disney. We did not on Royal, so that may have been the difference there. So, I will say, folks, with your food, the mileage may vary.
Your
A couple of
mileage may
things.
vary.
A couple of things here before we just run forever on this episode.
Yeah.
We can the internet, you can add on. You can decide what you want to
Yes.
do on that. It can be pricey. I think we paid $20 a day or maybe 18 a day. There were some discounts on that. There's a drink package you can get that will allow you a certain number of drinks per day. Again, look at the price, because that also can get pricey unless if you're somebody who has like maybe one or two margaritas every now and then, this is not for you. If you're somebody who goes on vacation and enjoys having several during all throughout the day, it is something to consider. We got the coffee card. Steph and I are both coffee drinkers, and on that, over the course of 3 days, it gives you 15 specialty coffees. Now, it said on the thing, not included in Starbucks is not included. I didn't know how many coffee shops there were on board. I think there may have been more that would do it, but we found the one coffee shop in the promenade that would do it. They serve Starbucks coffee, even if they didn't have Starbucks on the
Right, it
headboard
wasn't
there.
a
It wasn't
Starbucks. It
Starbucks.
was just a
Exactly. What I come to find out was that every mark you get, every punch you get, is for a small coffee, hot drink. If you get an ice drink like I do, it's 2 marks. And even then, I wasn't able to finish it. I mean, like, I probably need to have two or three more. So I kind of wish we'd gotten one card for both of us. We paid $30 each for the card. One thing we did enjoy, however, we had Evian water delivered to our room. It's the only water they
Oh,
offer.
yeah.
1 liter bottles, 12 1 liter bottles for like $20, completely worth it. We had 2 bottles left. We couldn't drink it all. And so, we're water drinkers, and we were trying to chug waters all day. And so there are various, obviously, other prices you can pay. There's also the soda package you can get. They give you a Royal Caribbean cup, which for me, I'm like, I don't want to carry the cup around all day, but hey, I saw cups everywhere. People loved it.
Yeah, people loved it.
We did have dinner at Johnny Rockets, which was one cover charge. One thing I didn't understand was, like, I got to be careful at what I order. I don't want to have a $50 bill. Apparently, it's $15 per
It's
person, and you
$15
can order whatever
total.
you want to the menu. Didn't know that. You didn't tell me that because you weren't sitting with me. So, Jen, I blame you for that. I would have gotten mushrooms on my burger, right? So overall, the offboarding process was fairly simple. We got off pretty fast. You know, we went and had breakfast at Windjammers at the main. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We had the main dining breakfast at the main dining, which is very good. Which was great because I heard Windjammers was kind of chaotic. Was crazy. I heard it was nuts.
Oh yeah, on December vacation day, it's always. Yeah,
and so I would advise you maybe consider going and having a sit down meal if you can, if your time allows it. We had that and had a good time. Yeah. So all of that was great. So Jen, any final thoughts on the Freedom?
I mean, it was a great time. I would say if you're looking for a short getaway, and we saw like a lot of bachelor and bachelorette parties. Someone said they actually saw like a wedding. You know, we saw, you know, a couple family reunions. If you're just looking for a short getaway, something where the price is going to be right and pretty much everything's included, this is a great option. And when you, especially if you have a variety of ages, I do think that cruising in general, and in particular, like a short cruise like this, because like I said, the price is right. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great option for you. And if you are somebody who maybe is a little bougier, I do love the newer class of ships. Yes. I like the Oasis class, the Quantum class. I'm looking forward to hitting up Icon. Well, I guess it's an Oasis class, Utopia, you know, coming up. Eventually I'll get on an Icon class ship, just not yet.
Right.
But that is definitely going to be your speed because it's all the things we talked about. Plus you got more plugs. Plus you've got the nicer, newer bathrooms, the food in general, you have more food options. There's just a lot more.
Yeah. So, Coco K is fantastic.
Oh,
I think something to do for everybody on that island. I think it's just amazing. Again, you can decide if you want to spend the money or not on doing the water park. There are 7 or 8 slides, so I think it's worth it if you want to spend the money. The last thing I will say is I did talk to a few people about their autism program. Royal Caribbean is a certified autism ocean cruise, whatever. I'll be honest with you, I don't have an autistic child on the ship. I didn't bring my son, so I can't speak to that. But in talking to them, the main things I look for is, number one, is there one-on-one help with the children? Like most cruises, they said no. They just don't have the staff for it, and they probably don't want to bear the responsibility for it. I get that. Two, my child is 2 years old. He doesn't wander, but he does wander a little bit. Like, he will wander the elevators. And once he's there for a few minutes, he'll be like, oh, what's over here? So he doesn't purposely just walk away, but he might wander down the highway a little bit, down the hallway a little bit, until suddenly he's out of sight. They don't really have a lot of control over that either. So for me, I'm like, well, Disney and Princess kind of had the same answers as well. Now, I thought the kids areas were great. There was an arcade down there as well. You know, they offer quiet spaces. They offer all kinds of sensory toys. You know, they will help you. They will help with changing your kid, you know, the young children and stuff. But a parent has to be present. So I think it's worth investigating. Don't let a disability or a cognitive disability keep you from cruising. Do the homework or talk to your travel agent. Pick us, pick Jen, pick me.
Yeah.
And we will be happy to help you along with that as well. Mm-hmm. So there are some of that real quick. Our flights actually were out of Orlando. So we caught the Brightline train station up to Orlando from the Miami port. It was about $20, including tip, to get from the port to the Brightline station. Mm-hmm. Brightline station, very open. It's a small station, very open. There's 3 tracks. The signage wasn't great. We didn't know until right before we boarded that they don't tell you what track you're going to be on until right before you board. So we're like, we don't know where to go. Finally, everybody gathered around an escalator. So there is some of that. I'm like, I wish Brightline would kind of help their communication a little bit, because when the lady
I will say that that's how it works in Europe, too.
Really? Well, this ain't Europe, right? So I will say that when the lady did come on to do the announcement, she said simply, all right, I'll be like, come on, if you want to come on out, we're going to Brightline station, I'm 3. And I think I heard 3 at the end. I'm like, I think we're on 3. Let's go to 3 and see what happens. And lo and behold, all the people were there. But the train was fantastic. When you reserve your seats, you pick your seats front, forward, facing backward. They have plenty of room for luggage, whether it's full luggage or just carry-ons. A lot of leg room at each seat. Each seat has USB ports and plugs in front of you and under you. Same thing with the train station. They do have somebody walking up and down offering snacks and stuff. If you wanted to pay a premium price, you could go into the lounge at the station and also get premium snacks. Mm-hmm. I did not. I basically paid $3 for a 12-ounce bottle of water. Not even kidding. One of the small bottles. The ride was comfortable. It was easy. It's funny because on a plane, you know, if you get up, go to the bathroom, they're like, sit down, please. As soon as you're done, sit down. Trains, there was a woman walking up and down the middle with a baby in her arms. As the train was pulling into the station, people are standing up, getting their luggage, whatever. But I cannot recommend the Brightline enough. It was fantastic. It came into the Terminal C at Orlando at MCO. You get off there, you take the new tram to the main terminal where everything is, where you're used to seeing everything. And just know you do have to go through TSA check there. So security is right there once you come off that tram. But But yeah, I thought Brightline was great. I highly recommend it. Orlando, Miami, all the stops in between. So there we go. Any final thoughts on any of that?
No. I think the Brightline could be a great option for people, honestly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good to know that that is now an option.
Yes. I'm your Brightline guy. I got you because I've done it. So I would do it again. So Jen, where can we find you on the vast worldwide interwebs?
You can find me at Upon a Star Jen and my personal Instagram at Jen_Novotny. I posted a little bit on my stories mainly. Mm-hmm. I need to just do like a encapsulation post.
Find me, of course, on Facebook at Magic on a Dollar and at Disney on a Dollar. And of course, find me on Instagram at The Magic on a Dollar. Definitely find me on Instagram because I have a lot of stuff going up about the cruise. And also, you can look up Disney Geek 27, which is our friend Kyla. She posted quite a bit from the cruise as well. Mm-hmm. And there were several of us that did a lot of posting from the cruises, but I felt like we were, our friend Susan, our friend Casey both did theirs as well. Upon a Star, Susan and Upon a Star Casey, I believe, were their handles. Mm-hmm. A lot of crew stuff, but you can find them through us if you need to. But yeah, you get all you need. And any questions you have about the Royal Caribbean or Disney or anything else, we're happy to help you. UponAStarTravel.com is where you go for all of that. Jen, this has been a fun little cruise around the podcasting world or something. So, so for Jen, I'm Dave, and don't forget to thank your Phoenicians.
Thank you for listening to the Main Street Electrical Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The MSE Podcast, or visit our website at themsepodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe,
and may all your wishes come true.